I'm drawn to this quote at the end of Jeremiah, where the prophet says, "But seek the welfare of the city where I've sent you into exile, and pray to God on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. For in its welfare you will find your welfare." As I shared with the kids and as we heard, that must have been really challenging news, right? For the Israelite people to live in captivity, in exile, in this foreign country, to hear that they would not be going home, right? What a difficult word that must have been for Jeremiah the prophet to deliver and for the people to receive news. Or is it? You know, it might sound unimaginable because I believe we often think of the world of the Bible as so far removed from where we are here in Bayview in the 21st century in Wisconsin, Super Bowl Sunday. It might seem like we are so distant from the world of the Bible that, you know, we can't possibly experience the type of stuff that people in the Bible experienced. But here's the thing. All of us have experienced moments in our lives where our dreams and hopes have come unraveled, every single one of us. Whether you are 99 years old or whether you are 9 months old. Dreams are very different as we grow. All of us have lived through some sort of loss where you thought your plans were secure, but it didn't turn out how you wanted it to. Life did not go as planned, and your dreams for the future unraveled. So I want to invite you, take a minute, literally, I'll watch the time, close your eyes, and remember what that moment was when your dreams about something, your hopes about the future in some way came unraveled. Something disappointed you, something upset you, or maybe it was something very big, something very serious, where your dreams, your hopes, all of a sudden came unraveled. I'll watch the time. Literally, we're going to take a minute, okay? Close your eyes. So what came to mind for you? Today we're going to talk a little bit about what happens when those dreams came unraveled, okay? When you thought you should have received the raise, or when the nursing home became home, or when you thought you were supposed to get into the program, or when your child or grandchild didn't get into Madison, but all their friends did. Or when the pregnancy wasn't viable. When your candidate didn't get elected. When you didn't get the promotion. Or when your friend or family member didn't come back from the deployment. When your spouse died before you. Or when you get the diagnosis and the news wasn't good. When the proposal was turned down, when the adoption fell through, or all the innumerable things that happen in this thing that we call life that unravel our future. What happens when your dreams come unraveled? In our Old Testament lesson today, we hear just about that. When the same group of people we heard about last week, those Israelites who strove to be let go and to have a home of their own, once again find themselves upended and uprooted, living under the thumb of a foreign power in a foreign land that is not their home. And the prophet Jeremiah gives them a startling message, one that I think, although challenging, might help us today and in the future. When we think of those things that we just thought about a minute ago, when our lives came unraveled, So this morning we're going to talk about Jeremiah and where God dwells when we are uprooted, and what God says when our dreams go poof. A bit of backstory. If you aren't familiar with the overarching story of the Israelites in the Old Testament, and I suspect that many of us are not, one of the most critical events in their history is called the Babylonian captivity, or the Babylonian exile. Okay? This was a period of Jewish history, and I say Jewish history because the Israelites and Hebrews, those are the ancestors, our spiritual ancestors, but they are the direct ancestors of the modern-day Jewish folks. There was a period in Jewish history where the people of the kingdom of Judah, of Jerusalem, they become captives in Babylonia, in Babylon. There's a battle called the Battle of Carchemish, and this happens around 600 BCE. And bless Doris for reading all these difficult names this morning. But the biggest mouthful is probably King Nebuchadnezzar, okay? King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon sieged Jerusalem. He sieged it, essentially forcing out the king that was there and killing this one. The king of Judah was forced to pay tribute to him. And what does that mean outside of the Hunger Games? You know, I volunteer as tribute. Paying tribute means that the king would have had to have paid a sum indefinitely, basically, to Nebuchadnezzar under the acknowledgement that they are basically a vassal of them. For peace, for security, for protection, you had to pay up. It was like taxation without representation. His people lived under the thumbs of the Babylonians. And if they didn't pay tribute, then they would be snuffed out. So essentially, the Hebrews, the Israelite folks, were captives in their own land. And their king decided to fight back. They decided they weren't going to deal with this anymore. They were going to have their Boston Tea Party moment. The Babylonians didn't mess around, though, when they decided not to pay up. So the king refused to pay tribute in Nebuchadnezzar's fourth year of occupying the land in Jerusalem. And this led eventually to the king's death. He refused to pay tribute. There were a series of sieges, and it culminated in Jehoiakim, that's the king, dying. And the capture of his successor. And the mass population of Jerusalem was deported to Babylonia in 597 BCE. The ones that were left behind were the socially irrelevant people. The ones on the margins of society without any resources or power to defend themselves in a destroyed city, they weren't going to cause any problems. This is the context, though, that Jeremiah the prophet preaches through and speaks through and speaks God's hard truth in. So by the time our story today takes place, Jerusalem had been destroyed. The population, except for the dregs, so to speak, had been deported, and the dream of returning home to Jerusalem was becoming a distant memory, but the people held on to it. Here's what Jeremiah says: to the remaining elders and exiles and the priests and the prophets and all the people who Nebuchadnezzar has taken into exile, thus says the Lord of hosts — hosts means armies — thus says the God of armies, the God of Israel, to whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Find love. Give away your family members in marriage. Have babies. Do not decrease your population. In other words, God says through Jeremiah, settle in. You aren't going back home. Hunker down for the long haul. Build a house. Plant a garden. Get your kids into a good school. You're going to be here, probably indefinitely. Now, this is challenging. For one, the Lord of armies, the God of Israel, says to the people through Jeremiah, to my people whom I have sent, and did he, to send God's people to a foreign land. That's hard to hear. That's a big deal, because the Israelites called Jerusalem home, and they believed that God literally lived in the temple there, and the temple came down. Now, today we don't believe that God necessarily lives in the church. I'd say the Spirit of God is here in all of us, But we don't have God sitting on a throne in the church somewhere. God is not in this, you know, box or something like that. But they believed that the dwelling place of God was in the temple, and the temple was now destroyed, and all of them were taken out of this land. So that would seem like God was defeated. And now that the people are in exile in a foreign land, that's compounded by the fact that they didn't just lose their homes, but their identity, their welfare, their proximity to their God. All of that has come unraveled and blown up. To this, Jeremiah delivers the stunning message: seek welfare in the city that I've sent you into exile. Pray to God on its behalf. Pray for the city. Pray for the country that came in and wiped out your own people and that took down the temple. Pray to God on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. In other words, Jeremiah says, settle in, build homes, plant gardens, start families in this foreign land, because this is your home now. So pray for it. That is really hard to hear. So what has unraveled in this story before us? Well, I would say, for one, the dream of those in Babylon that they had constructed for when they were going to finally get to go home. That unravels. That unravels. There's no going back. There's only going forward. Now, if you ever watched the old ABC series Lost, where all these people, they end up crashing onto this island, and they're basically exiled to this island. They can never go back to the life that they had before. So many times they keep saying things like, I was a dentist, I was a doctor, I was all these things in my past life. But it doesn't matter anymore, because that's not the reality. The reality is they're on an island and they can never get off of it. That's what happens in this story. There's no going back, there's only going forward. And going forward means settling into the new reality that nothing will ever be the same. I think something else that comes unraveled is because of the exile, Jerusalem has unraveled. And so has the identity of the Israelites. Everything they knew was back in Jerusalem. Everything they held dear. They had no roots in Babylon. They had no past there. But because Jerusalem had unraveled in its destruction and their deportation, they had to build a new future in Babylon. That meant building a new identity. And finally, I would say the harsh reality of exile unravels into a new vision with possibility. Planting and building rather than just hoping to be gone. Planting and building. With this being said, I wonder what planting gardens and building in exile might mean for us today. I think you've all done it. You know, remember what I asked? Take a minute to think about what it is when your dreams or your hopes came unraveled. You know, when you didn't get the raise or the car keys got taken away. Or when you didn't get into the school or failed the tests or got the bad diagnosis. Or lost a loved one, when your dreams came unraveled. I think all of us have actually planted gardens and built in exile, so to speak, in the wake of these experiences. And you know how I know that? Because you're sitting here right now. It doesn't mean that you dismiss life-altering, future-exploding events, as I tried to kind of simplify with the kids, as making lemons from lemonade, or finding the silver lining. It doesn't mean that. I think our scripture today might mean for us that each of us has found ways to live into our new reality in the wake of devastation. All of us have planted and built during our exile moments in life. And we have, like the Israelites in Babylon, found a way to unravel the harsh reality of our experience of loss or grieving or pain or whatever it is into something new, even while it has unraveled us itself. So perhaps our scripture is a clarion call. It's a reminder that God can unravel the most experience of exile into a new vision with some possibility. It may not be easy, but it is possible. And I think that is what our gospel lesson says as well, and I want to conclude with that. Matthew's gospel details Jesus going up a mountainside and teaching a lesson to his disciples and presumably everyone that's around him. All these people that are on the margins of society. And as Nadia Bolz-Weber said, and I would just paraphrase it this way myself, Jesus says, blessed are the losers. Blessed are the losers. To quote Simon and Garfunkel, blessed are the sat upon, the spat upon, the ratted on. Blessed are the losers. Jesus names as blessed the people who never would have been considered blessed. Period. Full stop. He names the people that have lost that life, especially in his world. The ones that could have been left behind and would have been left behind if Babylon would have come in and taken over Jerusalem again. The ones for whom life has unraveled. And Jesus says to them, blessed are you, the poor in spirit, the hungry and thirsty, those that show mercy, the pure, the powerless, the meek. For God will unravel your reality into something different. Into justice, into mercy, into inheritance, into what the kingdom of God looks like. Again, I say, what might planting gardens and building an exile mean for you and your family today? If God can unravel the hopelessness and broken dreams from those that have lost their home, their identity, their country, their welfare, their proximity to God, my prayer for us is that God can help us do the same. Even when our lives unravel, the story is not over yet. So settle in, build homes, plant gardens, maybe have babies, and know that God blesses and names us as those that live in exile. And God counts us as blessed, even when our lives unravel. Amen?